but invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6 and verse 10. And at that time the disciples came to Jesus and he asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Now, if you've ever wondered where that whole concept of guardian angels for little children came from, it came right from verse 10. What a wonderful, wonderful expression of God's love for children. He has assigned an angel to each child. And they go back before the face of the Father to know exactly what it is that they need to bring. And he challenges us to hold the children in the same esteem that God holds them. So this morning, as we think about this, I want us to recognize that there are some things we need to see. One, we need to understand what the term honor means. So I'm just going to put a couple of you on the spot this morning. And I'm going to start with my wife. I love to put her on the spot. Tell me, what do you think of when you hear the term honor? Okay, respect. Anything else?
Obedience.
Obedience. Okay, anything else?
Honor those who are in charge of making plans for the
military. All right. So, in honoring, we need to recognize that there are certain people that should be honored more than others. Does anyone remember Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? And then it has a promise with it that your days may be long. Do babies come out knowing what honoring is? This is something that parents are charged with the responsibility to instill in their children. Now, I want you to recognize that the Israelites were so very much impressed with this that they really even carried it to the farthest extreme that you can imagine. If a child did not honor their parents, if the child was willful and refused to do what they were told, do you know what they actually said you could go and do? Stone them. Talk about discipline. Well, stoning was to death. So I want us to recognize, obviously, this was not just some minor thing that was supposed to be instilled. So this morning, this is what I want us to begin thinking about. Parents that are sitting out there, grandparents that are sitting out there, we have a responsibility to help our children and grandchildren to understand this concept. Now, I am not telling you, don't get this in your heads. The pastor said I can stone my children, okay? No. We're going to remember, we live under the code of grace. There are a few differences. We don't believe in the eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, even though we want to believe in it some days. All right, so, honor. What does it mean to honor? Respect. To obey. Well, then we need to think, what kinds of things do we need to teach our children to honor. One, they need to honor their authority in their life, their parents. Bible also talks about honoring those who are over you in the spiritual, in the church. And I want you to remember another. I love the Old Testament examples. Do you remember priest walking down the road, or prophet walking down the road, not priest? And the children were making fun of him. What happened? Bears came out and ate him. All right. Old Testament again. But again, it goes to help us to recognize that there are some things that God does expect. And many times the things he expects are not necessarily the easiest. Okay? So, we as parents, grandparents, church members, all have a responsibility. Why do I say church members? Because we, in essence, have become the family of God together. And it says, do not neglect the gathering of yourselves together. It says that you need to have each other as a support system. As a support system. So this morning we need to think about that. Now, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train. And when he is old, he will not depart, is the King James Version. So, we want us to recognize what is training. Now, Darwin, do you remember when we were young, Uncle Glenn and his horses? Okay, do you remember ever watching him train the horses? Do you remember what he did to do that?
Actually, he had a strap system that he hooked on.
There were straps over her backside that were elastic, that hooked onto the hooves, because they were supposed to pull their feet up in some of the certain gates that they were supposed to do. There were different gates. And I also remember the five-gated horse that he had, and how important that was as well, that because in essence they almost barely inched forward. It was almost like they were jumping up and down, and they would just inch forward by bringing one foot and then the other, and they would work on both. He also carried a whip in his hand. Now, he didn't whip the horse on the back, but what he did was he would hold that whip so that when they moved forward, if the horse was not pulling their foot up high enough, he would just tap on the underneath of the leg to help that horse to remember that they were supposed to be lifting that leg. And he would have them on a tether, and they would go around, and he'd walk around in a circle with them, and he'd be tapping them and keeping on all this, and then he'd put them on the two-wheeled thingy, and he'd practice that. And one time we got to go to an actual show, and of course they had the fancy carriage there, and the horse's mane was braided, and the horse's tail, they actually had a false tail. So believe it or not, horses are vain. They had extensions, and they would attach to the tail and have it so that it would hang down longer. Horses moving, the tail would flow out. So these are some of the memories that I remember as a child. But I want us to think about, this was training. Was it something that was once in a while? No, it was not. This training was done consistently, over and over, until the horse learned to do exactly and move exactly the way that my uncle wanted it to move. Now, how many of you have dogs? Have you ever tried to train a dog? Is it easy, Johnny? Some dogs are harder than others to train. Some are hard-headed. How many of you have ever watched the dog Whisperer? I love that show. I just love that show. Anyway, it's funny because this guy, Cesar Romero, yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Would know what kind of dog it was. He would look at the personality of the dog, and he would assess the training routine based on what that dog needed. I was so shocked when he said, "You're never going to be able to get this dog to do what you want until you put him on the treadmill and walk him on the treadmill for sometimes an hour, because some dogs need that kind of release of their energy." And so I thought, how do you put a dog on a treadmill? And he would show us, and he'd put him on there and get him trained to take the treadmill, and they would walk and walk and walk. And then he would show how they had to establish the routine and the rapport. Now, why am I talking about horses and dogs when we're actually talking about children? Why? Because the principles are the same. Now, Christopher, don't go out and get a whip. Jamie, don't get a whip. This is not what we're talking about with children. You have to use what's appropriate for children. But is it easy to train your child?
No.
There are days you want to pull your hair out. Do you get to give up? No, you have been honored with that child. God gave you a blessing. You have been honored with that grandchild. God gave you a blessing. And so this is the challenge that we have to see, is that we are supposed to be training our children. What should we first and foremost train them in? I disagree. What was it? To love Christ. That is the first and foremost. Second is how to be quiet. No. I don't know when that comes in. There's times that we think that should be raised to the top of the list. Anyway, but first and foremost is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. How do you do that? I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work if you only bring him to church once a week. That's not going to train him. Now, I'm not saying, okay, don't you go out of here and say, "Pastor said I don't have to go to church." That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, besides church, you need to daily let your children know that God is important. That can be done many different ways, and people have done that in many different ways. I know as a parent, we would start at bedtime every night. We would go in and kneel beside the bed with our children and pray. We would also make sure that we prayed at every meal, so that they were understanding that there is a God who we converse with, and that he is our personal God. That's not going to happen if he's not personal to you. So, each and every parent has to think through, how do I train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Again, fear is that actually should be translated respect, honor. Okay, how do I teach my child to honor and respect the Lord? Now, does it stop there? No, it does not. Because there are all the different areas that we have to train our children in. We have to, believe it or not, train our children not to stick their fingers in electrical outlets. We have to train our children not to grab the sugar bowl and hide under the table. He doesn't hide anymore. So there are many things, but parents, you have to make a willful decision what it is you need to train your children. It doesn't happen by wishful thinking. It comes by thinking it through and deciding how to do it, and then carrying through consistently over and over. So, we've had our sermon time. I'm now going to ask for us to, let me get my bulletin here. I'm going to close the sermon time with actually reading out of Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You may be thinking, this was Jesus we're talking about. But I think this is a very appropriate prayer for all of us to pray for our children, that they would increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. So I challenge all of us this morning to start taking our responsibility as very important. You may not be a parent. You may not be a grandparent. You may be a member of a church. But a church is a covenant group that has made a promise to support each other and to help each other. So it becomes all of our responsibility. And I want to thank all of the many Sabbath school teachers that are here this morning. And I want to just thank the Lord for those that have gone on. I remember Helen Bond teaching Christopher, and the things that he learned. He knows his Bible stories. He remembers those stories. And Helen was his teacher for a number of years. Christopher and Brett and Peter, I think, were the three boys. And if that wouldn't want you to pull your hair out. But she stuck with it. Of course, her gift was teaching. She was a gifted teacher. But it is because of the dedication of people that do that. And we have Sabbath school teachers that are being dedicated to do that now, and I am so thankful for them.